Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. I wrote about this online a little bit this past week, but I was curious to ask this morning, did anyone else in here when you were a kid, or if you're a kid now, did you ever think that quicksand was going to be a bigger problem in your life? I mean, I did. The first memory I could think of, I was thinking back this week, I remember an episode of MacGyver. And I remember MacGyver, he saved Willis just in time from that quicksand. And I thought for sure that quicksand, it must be taking all kinds of lives because it's so dangerous, right? I thought, this is a dangerous thing, this quicksand. Now I'm 43, and I have yet to know someone who died from quicksand. Now, of course, if there's anyone in here that does, I apologize. That's not my intention. But I've never seen quicksand in person. I've seen it on TV shows. I thought it was going to be a big problem in my life. And here I am. Haven't seen it yet. Haven't run into it. But I want you to think for a moment about quicksand. You can't just swim your way out of quicksand. Even if you've never experienced quicksand, if you know anything about it, it's not like you can be strong enough that you can just swim out of it no matter how great of a swimmer you are. You can't just muscle your way out of quicksand. You can't fight your way out of it no matter how good you are. You need more than yourself to get out of that trap of quicksand. And that's really how the Christian life is when it comes to our struggles. We can't solve our own problems. We can't rescue ourselves from difficulty, just kind of like how Ashley shared in her testimony a little while ago. We can't fight our way out of doubt with positive thinking. We can't deliver ourselves from fear with more self-confidence. It's just not how it works. We need help. Without exception, every single one of us, we need help. And so what we need in all things, ultimately, is to pursue Jesus. If John the Baptist, that amazing prophet of God who Jesus said so many amazing things about, in fact, he said right after what we're about to read this morning, he said he's the greatest man that's ever come from woman, that he had the greatest role of prophet before Christ. If he struggled with doubt and uncertainty, which we're about to read about, then so we're gonna struggle with it too. That's the reality. And so what should we do? What should we do when those doubts creep in? And so let's read in chapter 11 of Matthew. We're just going to read five verses this morning, beginning in verse 2, after Jesus had given orders to his disciples and these things are happening and the news about Jesus has become public, more and more public, and word is spreading. And so this is what the situation is here. Beginning in verse 2, when John heard in prison, talking about John the Baptist, he was in prison, when he heard what the Messiah was doing, he sent a message by his disciples and asked him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And if anyone is not offended because of me, he is blessed." Father, this morning we pray that you would help us to understand the truth of your word. Give us the wisdom to see what it means, but Father, not just to stop there, to really desire to apply it to our lives, to know how to apply it to our lives, and to be faithful and obedient to who your word calls us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about doubt in the Christian life. And more specifically, we're going to look at some examples of what the Bible teaches us about how doubt can push us into a deeper understanding of God, a greater commitment to our faith in the midst of that doubt. And so when those doubts come in, what do? When you struggle with doubt, let's be reminded that God desires that we turn to him. God desires that we trust him. God desires that we cry out to him. So today we're going to look at going from doubt to pursuit. Let's not just doubt, let's pursue. From doubting our faith to pursuing Jesus. Don't let doubt and discouragement cause you to give up. Because that's what so often people do, right? They doubt, they discourage, and they just say, well, I'm not going to do anything. No, don't let that. Pursue Christ in the midst of that doubt. And so my purpose in the message this morning is that you will pursue Jesus in the midst of your doubts, even when you don't understand, especially, in fact, when you don't understand. Pursue Jesus. Prioritize that. Prioritize pursuing Jesus, crying out to him, seeking him. just like the psalmist did, right? They cried out to him when they didn't understand in pleading. And God knows our hearts anyway, so let's pursue him. Let's seek him in the midst of all this. And so from the short example we just read here in Matthew 11, I want you to think about three appropriate ways to deal with doubt or deal with that spiritual doubt. How do we deal with it? Doubt is the opposite of faith, isn't it? Or really maybe more specifically, denying because of our doubt is the opposite of faith. Or maybe fear as a result of our doubt is the opposite of faith. And so instead of throwing in the towel, instead of turning away from God and his word when you struggle with doubt, pursue Jesus. The doubts come, pursue Jesus. Deal with your doubt like we can see in this example. So the first thing I want you to notice, and it's so clear, seek the truth. Seek the truth, verses 2 and 3. Remember, John the Baptist had preached about the coming Messiah back in chapter 3 of Matthew. He had preached about this Jesus. He told the people to repent and to turn to the Lord. Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin in the world. He knew who Jesus was, or at least he thought he did. And now as more and more stuff about Jesus was becoming public, John the Baptist wanted to make sure, is this the one? Is this the one? John had probably been in prison for a while by this point, and he had some doubts. Based on things that had already happened, based on things that John had said, we know that John had already thought Jesus was the Messiah, but then there was some struggling with some doubt that John was having. He was in prison for his faith. Things were difficult. And let's be honest, when things are difficult, aren't we more likely to struggle with doubt, with insecurity, with uncertainty when things are difficult in life? Elijah certainly understood that. When he was in the cave, he was fearful of his life. In 1 Kings chapter 19, I encourage you when you get a chance to read that. It's in your notes underneath the references there. But Jezebel was after him, wanted his life. Elijah understood as he's in a cave by himself, thinking he was all alone, but he wasn't. He had doubt. You ever find yourself in an overwhelming situation and struggle to understand the how and the why in that situation? John the Baptist was probably a lot like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember, for those who were here last week on Resurrection Sunday, we talked about that story in Luke chapter 24. John the Baptist, like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, he probably thought, wait a second, I thought this Messiah was going to deliver us from Roman rule. And yet here I am in prison, in a Roman prison. Is this the one who was to come? I was proclaiming him, and I was teaching his truth, and I was thrown in prison. What's going on? Like the disciples last week, then John was searching for answers. But realize, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to search for answers. Seek the truth. Proverbs 8:17, in talking about wisdom, says that I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. And what is wisdom personified? It's the Lord. I love those who love me, and those who search for me find me. Are you seeking the truth? Are you asking for God's help in the midst of your doubts? Are you asking him for wisdom? He promises to give it according to James chapter 1. Also on your notes, when you get a chance and see what do we see the promise here, is that if we pursue the Lord and we trust him, then and we want that wisdom, we desire it sincerely, then he promises to give it to us. But you have to be sincere. You have to trust the Lord. You have to seek the truth. Be careful on this too. This might step on some toes, and that's not my intention here, but something that's bothered me a lot lately is Christian radio, right? And specifically, I'm talking about K-Love. Not so much the music. I like a lot of the music that's on there, but it's the commentary sometimes. And I listen to that, and I think, what in the world are they talking about? You see, remember, truth is not what you and I or anyone else decide it is. We don't determine what truth is. Truth is not based on how we feel. Truth is not based on our experiences. Truth is not changed by COVID. Truth is not changed by culture. Truth is not changed by technology. God is the author of truth. God and God alone. And so when people on K-Love or anywhere else, when they start saying things that contradict the word of God, and I've heard this on multiple occasions, when they say things that contradict the Bible, they are wrong. They don't determine what truth is. If I or any other leader says anything that contradicts the Bible, we are wrong. Every time we are wrong. If you feel like saying or doing something that goes against the Bible, then you are wrong. If you have any doubts about the promises of God according to the Bible, then you're wrong. We all are when we have those. And so seek the truth. And really, what does that mean? That if you seek the truth, that requires that you know the word. Seek the truth and know the word. When Jesus answered John the Baptist, he gave an answer that John certainly would have understood. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. He was quoting the very prophet that John would have known. He shared ways that he was fulfilling, that Jesus was fulfilling Isaiah's prophecies about the Messiah. John the Baptist would have known that. Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus is who the Bible declares him to be. Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is the fulfillment of God's promises. So know the word so that you can go from doubt to pursuit. The Bible is the answer to your doubts and fears, and so know the word. And by the way, think about, just for an example, when he says the blind see in verse 5. You could read the entire Old Testament and you won't see a single example of a blind person being made to see. Why? It's impossible. You won't see, I mean, look at some of these examples here. The lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor are told the good news. Everything except for the poor being told the good news, those are all impossible things. But just taking blindness for an example, blind people being made to see, it was promised that someone would be able to make it happen. And when he did, no one could deny that. When a dead person, Lazarus, was raised from the grave, no one could deny that. They saw it happen. No one did deny it. You don't have any records of people denying these miracles because people saw them with their very own eyes. It happened, and his name is Jesus. And he's the promised Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the all-powerful God in the flesh. Jesus did what the prophet said he would do. He did what he said he would do. He will continue to do what his word says he will do. And so we have to know the word. Otherwise, you're jumping into the perilous quicksand we talked about earlier. That's what you do if you don't know the word. You're just saying, I'm just going to jump into the quicksand and see what I can figure out. You see, if you're walking along a path and you know that there's quicksand ahead, you know that, okay, over here is quicksand, you're going to adjust, you're going to avoid the quicksand unless you're not very smart. You're not going to just say, oh, let's see what this is like. If you know anything about it, you're not going to go in there. If you don't heed the warning or you don't know the path, then the results could be devastating. If the sign isn't there or you fail to read the sign, the results could be devastating. If you go through life without following God according to his word, then you're jumping into spiritual quicksand. You're living foolishly and apart from how God created you to live. We've all been there. We've all been there. I mean, there's different versions of it, but all of our testimonies are just like Ashley's. We've all been there where we've been in that quicksand and we thought, oh, I can just get out of this. I can fight my way out. I can do this on my own. No, none of us can. None of us is able. None of us is capable. None of us is adequate. The only one who can pull us out of that mess is the Lord. And his word is clear on that, so we have to know the word. We have to know who we are called to be, how we are called to respond to the word of God. Seek the truth, know the word, and so then the response is to respond in faith. Faith in Jesus, it's the right response. It's the only good way to deal with doubt, is to respond in faith, to put your faith in Jesus. There's no other way that's going to satisfy our doubts. Trust Jesus. Turn to him. If you seek the truth and you know the word, then what's the result going to be? If you're seeking truth, if you know the word, then you're going to respond in faith. That's why Jesus shared the word with John the Baptist. Hey, just go tell John these things are happening. Tell him I'm the one who's doing it. Tell him what you see. And what's John going to do? He's going to respond in faith. You have to. No other option. If you're seeking the truth and you know the word, then you're going to respond in faith. Jesus said in verse 6, if anyone is not offended because of me, he is blessed. To not be offended because of Jesus is talking about trusting in him, to respond in faith. It means to surrender your all to Jesus, even though doing so, think about this, doing so, surrendering yourself to Jesus, that offends our sinful nature. That offends our selfish tendencies to say, I'm going to surrender to a Lord over my life. That's offensive in every way about us. Following Jesus is not easy. Following Jesus is not for safety. John the Baptist understood that. Following Jesus can even seem contrary to reason. Surrender your all to some Lord that you can't see? But seek the truth, know the word, and respond in faith. It's offensive, but listen to Jesus' word in Matthew 4. He began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's offensive because repent says turn away from your sins. And we're all sinners. Who likes to be told what you're doing is wrong and you need to stop doing it? Oh, we all love that, don't we? That's offensive. Turn away from sin, including your doubts and fears, by the way. When we doubt God, when we fear the world, that's sin because it's not trusting God. It's not depending on him. And so when we doubt, when we fear, we're sinful, we need to ask for his help. We need to trust him to save us and to change us. And that's a response in faith. That's what faith is. It's trusting him fully. Then even in seasons of doubt, even in seasons of difficulty, you will endure. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, we all know the story, right? A lot of you know the story. They were faithful to God. They were servants to others. They were respectful of the authorities. But they didn't compromise their faith in the Lord, and they were persecuted as a result. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't throw in the towel, though. When they were threatened with a fiery furnace, if they wouldn't worship the king, they stood firm in their faith. They responded in faith. Doubt and fear didn't win in their story. God did. Remember what they said. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, if the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, in other words, they knew that rescue wasn't certain. Even if he does not rescue us, they said, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up. You see, there was no absence of difficulty to make them strong. That's not why they were strong, because life was easy. There was no promise of safety to make them strong. They didn't have certainty and assurance in this life in order to make them strong. It was the presence of God who made them strong. Respond in faith. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you will pursue Jesus in the midst of your doubts. Do you have doubts and struggles as a Christian? You're a human, and you're a sinner, like me, and so yes, you do. The answer to that is yes, in case you didn't realize. Now, the reality is some of us in here might struggle more than others with doubt, but let's use those struggles. Let's use those doubts that creep up. Let's use those as reminders to pursue Jesus. That begins with surrendering your all to him. He's the perfect author of creation. He didn't mess up. The problems, the doubts, the struggles, the difficulties that we face, they're not God's fault, like God has somehow not figured out how to deal with things. No, they're our fault. It's the result of sin. We've all messed up. We've all messed up because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And the problems we face ultimately are because of our sin. The spiritual doubts, the fears, the insecurities we have ultimately are because of our sin. Most importantly, the problem in our relationship with God is because of our sin. Hell is what we all deserve. Our sin traps us in that devastating quicksand, and we cannot get ourselves out. But praise God, he loves us so much that he made a way for us to be rescued, right? Jesus took that punishment that we deserve when he died on the cross for our sins. He took that punishment on himself. The perfect Son of God, the Bible says, he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He's sinless. He's perfect. But he took our sin on himself so that we could be counted as righteous. Then he rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death forever. And so now if you turn from your sin and you ask Jesus for his help and for his forgiveness, if you surrender your all to him, then he will restore you in your relationship with God. You will be changed by him. You will be made right by him. You will have the promise of eternal restoration. And then those doubts that are so overwhelming, those doubts that are so debilitating sometimes, what will happen? By the same grace and mercy that delivered you from eternal death, you can be delivered from those doubts. You can be delivered from that discouragement. Have you surrendered your all to Jesus? If not, don't leave here today without making that decision. Don't leave here today without giving your all to him. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, is there growing evidence in your life? What is the growing evidence? Are you helping others to follow him? Is that a growing desire to help others to follow Jesus? Is that a growing commitment where you're saying, you know what, I'm going to prioritize being a faithful servant of God. I'm going to prioritize serving others in the church. I'm going to prioritize being a disciple who makes disciples. I'm going to prioritize prayer and evangelism and service. Let's go from doubt to pursuit, and let's help others to go from doubt to pursuit. Father, that is our prayer today. We know that none of us in this room is better than anyone else, not just in this room, but in this entire world. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you that he rose again. We thank you that by turning from sin and trusting in his sacrifice, trusting in his resurrection, we can have eternal life. And so, Father, for those here this morning who haven't yet made that decision to give their all to you, please give them that desire. Let them not be content to leave this room this morning without in their hearts right now as we pray, crying out and saying, Jesus, forgive me. Change me. Give me a new heart. Give me a new life. Make me right with God. Please, God, give them that desire this morning. And not just the desire to make that decision in their heart, but if they truly make it in their heart to know that that means they're going to tell the world. They're going to walk with Jesus. They're going to want to be baptized. They're going to want to serve you in your church. They're going to want to tell others. But Father, for all of us here this morning, let us recognize that we don't have to struggle with doubt. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be overwhelmed if we simply trust that if we seek the truth and if we know the word and if we respond in faith to our Savior, that most importantly, we can have a right relationship with you. But then that means a lifetime of change, a lifelong process of being made in your image, being made more like you, being made spiritually closer and closer to you. And God, we know that the closer we are to you, the less we doubt. So Father, let that be the reality for every person in here this morning. Let us pursue you, know you, and be faithful to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.